Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 24th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. I gotta say, I felt like I was that excited for the week in golf, and then I visited the Zurich team list, and it just breathed some life into me.
It's an incredible arrangement we got going on here. Just fit for this podcast. You know, 5 years ago, the haters and losers said, oh, this is, you know, 2018, it's a ridiculous idea. You're gonna talk about golf. You don't talk about golf
3 days
a week? No way. That's not gonna. Now
three
we're
hours
here.
Of 3 hours of podcast content a week. That's crazy.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do in those down weeks? That dead time between the Masters. You know those end of April events that are so sleepy. And here we are in 2024, and we got Russ Cochran playing a PGA Tour event. We got something called Jupiter Links coming into our life. And we got walk-up music, now a tradition. This might be one of the great weeks of the year, for all we know. And that's what we've been delivered, this three times a week podcast.
We've got one of our favorites on the Shotgun Start, Aldrich Potgieter in the field, too. Let's not forget that. The big boy from South Africa. Who's he playing with? He's playing with Thurston.
Don't call me Tristan. It's Thurston Lawrence. You know what? Thurston Lawrence has been on the scene of pro golf. I don't know that I could pick him out of a lineup. I just got to imagine with a name like Thurston, he's a burly boy himself. He's got to have a little heft to himself. So that feels like it could be left side of the line for the New Orleans Saints or something between Potgieter and Thurston Lawrence. A good South African duo gunning for President's Cup spots, maybe. Maybe get them going.
They could be gunning for spots on Stingers when contracts run out.
Speaking of a President's Cup, go ahead.
Can I dive into a couple of these? Can I just give you a little appetizer?
Yeah.
A few of my favorite teams here.
Yep.
We've got two brothers teams. I don't think we've ever had that before. We've got the Fitzies and the Højgaards. Both Højgaards are playing.
How about, you know, I was flipping through the notes. How about Nikolai Højgaard? Guy's like contending at the Masters, just hitting absolute missiles. And then he has to go play Punta Cana the next week. Not even in the RBC. Ridiculous.
Well, it's because he touched the sun and then he got sent back down to earth and shot himself completely out of it.
I mean,
he wouldn't have been playing Punta Cana if he didn't just completely eject himself out of the tournament.
I mean, Kevin Kisner was at Harbour Town. He's a former subject of Cutthroat Corner, which will be rebranded this week for Cochran Corner. That's what we're going to call it. We'll be nice for this one. But what else? What other duos you like?
How about Ches Reavie and Brant Snedeker?
What is this? Is this a PGA Tour event?
Does that get your juices going?
This feels like a QBE shootout or something. What? This can't be a real like FedEx Cup event.
All right, I got another one. The Kitty Cat. Do you know who the project, the Kitty Cat, Kurt Kitayama is playing with? I hope you haven't seen Notables.
No. Who's he with?
Colin Morikawa. How do you think they got together?
Vegas. That's the Vegas. They're like they play together at the Summit or whatever that newfangled development is in Las Vegas that won't be around 15 years from now as we move to the next one. Go ahead. What's next?
We got Kelly Kraft and Kevin Tway together.
Okay. How does that come to be?
Just two nondescript guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Just complete build the players. Okay.
We've got, let's see.
Who's, you know, who?
I don't
want to
burn all these. I got Toasty and TPJ. Toasty and Ted Potter Jr. That's the best one. I don't want to tip. The one thing is I don't want to tip my hand for Friday. Get into too many of mine.
Friday will be our annual, or sometimes the annual. I think we said we were going to do it last year, and then we just never did. Like, that's coming next episode, and it never came. But annual walk-up music. I think we did it last year. We'll have to check the tape. I think we said we were
I know people were asking for it for a while.
Yeah, sir. I don't, yeah.
Kind of like Lee Trevino.
Trevino part two, I think, is where it ended up. But
how about Hoagie and Maverick McNeely? One guy grew rides
South
middle
Dakota.
Seat.
Yeah.
South Dakota. Other guy, son of a tech billionaire.
That's interesting. There's this event makes some strange bedfellows. Toasty and Ted Potter, the wizard from Ocala, being high on the list, which, you know, I mean, Toasty's a signature event player. Ted Potter Jr. is the all-time Hooters Tour player, all-time winning list money winner on the Hooters Tour, I believe. Once put Dustin Johnson in a body bag at Pebble Beach.
He did.
But it's been slim pickings. I think it's been slim pickings.
Then he fell off the curb and broke his ankle.
Yes. He got tripped. Literally.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think the Candyman, Vincent Norman, and Jorge Campillo are going to be talking about this week?
Is there like a Florida State connection there or something? We could just read the whole list and just giggle. All the way around.
It's honestly unbelievable. You got the French socialist Martin Trainer with Chad Ramey. I mean, the names of this event are just amazing. Also, hey, let me ask you.
That feels like a weird duo. Ramey's like a guy who's got a truck who puts provocative bumper stickers on it, and then you got a French socialist. I'm just guessing what Ramey might be like.
That's
just guessing. He might not be. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best part, is just making conclusions based off people's names as to who they are
and looks, judging books by their cover. What were we gonna say? Sorry, I interrupted.
This is a real serious thing. Bulletin board material. I clicked on the PGA Tour.com's power rankings. One of my favorite things to do every week. See where the people behind the moat are thinking. What they're thinking about this tournament. Would you be offended if you were Rory McIlroy? Would you be offended that a group of so-called experts put you behind with Shane Lowry, two major champions, five majors between them? You were ranked one spot behind Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin.
In the power rankings? What is this?
In the power rankings.
Ronnie Bolton power rankings.
Would you take offense?
No. Cantlay and Xander should be one, if we're being honest.
They are number one.
Okay. All right. But there's still, but then there's even more. There's another person ahead of Rory.
They were number four. They were behind the two Canadians. They were behind Hadwin and Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin were ahead of Lowry and McIlroy in the power ranking.
Not to call in the competitiveness of Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy, but they feel like they're just going to, you know, sample the French Quarter. Have some pops. They agreed to it over a drunken lunch after winning the Ryder Cup. I got to think the Canadians... you know, trying to defend their honor after Ravel went to Mike Weir and we popped Brooke Henderson. They seem probably more motivated.
And they put up a bagel in the President's Cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a new segment today called the Bagel Boys. The Bagel Boys zone for Liv is an interesting place these days. Your guy Westy.
Oh, he's so bad.
Zero. He's got 0 points in the individual portion of the season. Zero
he's
points.
He's awful.
I don't know what points mean, but he's with Anthony Kim. Yeah, the Bagel Boys zone on the Liv. Well, we're giving Liv their own zone now.
How about this team? Piss Bear, Torbjørn Olsen, and Matt Wallace.
What is that about? Two guys who've had temper problems? You know? Those guys can run hot.
I'm going to play a little preview for
Thorbjorn.
You one taste of the walk-up music.
Piss Bear might fit in shirt. Well in the French Quarter. You know?
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get down on Bourbon Street.
You might just, yeah, blend in nicely.
What he got arrested for might not be illegal on Bourbon Street at the right time of day.
We're doing walk-up music. Do they even have walk-up music at the Zurich Classic anymore? Do we know that's the case? Yeah.
Like a one-year thing 5 years ago that we...
Alex Chayka came out to Guns N' Roses and we never saw it again or something. But we still do this segment because it's a hit.
Be great if Alex Chayka was in the field.
What do you got?
I'm out of practice. I didn't cut this. So tonight I'm gonna
party like it's 1999. All right. So not subtle, but still takes some work to figure out. Prince, Party Like It's 1999. Who won a major? Who came of age in 1999? Scanning my field list here.
There's a couple options for this.
That's the problem.
You gotta just pick one.
Is it Russ Cochran?
No.
He would have been too old by 1999, as you'll learn soon in Cochran Corner.
That's right.
He was
having kids in 1999.
Damn near the Champions Tour by 1999. Who is it? What's that one for?
That one is for Charlie Hoffman and Nick Watney. Two men that were coming of age in 1999. Charlie Hoffman, I think he was fresh out of college in 1999. Nick Watney was going to college in 1999. Two people that were definitely partying in 1999, but are playing in the most competitive golf league in the world as a team.
Watney with back-to-back starts. The Running Rebels. They grew up with Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, Anderson Hunt, essentially. The Running Rebels, Hoffman and Watney. All right. That's your good little sampling of walk-up music to come Friday morning. I love that. We got a lot to get through here on this Wednesday episode. Go ahead.
While we're off the rails, can I play the other thing I've prepared for you?
Yeah.
It's a promo clip for the latest TGL team. I'm sure that the brass at TGL thought they might avoid, you know, all the stuff going on with Zurich, you know, avoid being noticed, but Jupiter Lynx announces its team with a stellar promo video. I'm going to play the music that it was behind and then also narrate the captions. Are you ready for this?
Yes, we're ready.
Oh, God, I lost it. Here it
is. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. All right, more than a game, it's a way of life.
Sounds like the Jupiter Orchids
of
Asia.
Our passion for golf is fueled by the sun, the sand, and the vibrant energy of Jupiter. Tiger Woods, Max Homa, Tom
sun,
Kim,
sand, vibrant,
Kevin Kisner, competition fuels camaraderie.
Debatable.
And the beauty of team golf is celebrated on and off the course. Oh, the ocean just covered the text, and out the waves come back, and Jupiter Lynx logo is revealed.
There was a big to-do about the logo, too, the colors being this, that, or the other, and the Sunday Tiger's red in there.
Can I speak earnestly here?
How much did this cost, this video?
This is fucking embarrassing. I mean, you're the greatest golfer.
Not okay.
You're the greatest golfer of all time. you're worth roughly $1 billion. And this is the shit that you roll out?
I don't
think
he knew.
This is worse. This is worse than the Ramada Inn promo piece that Liv did last year with the cutting board and the bottom shelf liquor.
Jim Beam.
This is worse.
Jim Beam Black.
This is worse than that.
The music. The music sounds like it's out of a, you know, yeah, the spa or something, or maybe the Orchids of Asia in Jupiter. I mean, it's just the sun, the sand, vibrant. It's just terrible. And let's just be honest, it makes no sense. All right, so the quality's bad. The substance makes no sense. It's completely incongruous with anything. There are no links courses in Jupiter, really. There aren't. It's not a place, like, the name doesn't make
sense.
Jupiter
Dunes.
Fine. There's your one. They've got a good old boy from Aiken, a mensch from Los Angeles, and Tom Kim. Nobody, what is this? What's the connection to Jupiter?
Tom Kim lives in Dallas. Max Homa lives in Scottsdale. And Kistner lives in Aiken. And there's like 100 tour pros that live in Jupiter. They couldn't even get a team full of guys that live in Jupiter to be on the Jupiter team.
All this said, this is my team. I'm Lynx. I'm a Lynx guy. Jupiter Lynx. I want to go. I'm getting in at the most swampiest, silliest, and quite frankly, stupidest reason for anything existing in this whole scheme they got going. I'm a Lynx guy. This is my team. You can have your ball frogs. I'm riding with Jupiter Lynx.
I mean, I'm happy that you've made this decision. I'm happy you have your team. I think an 8-year-old could have made a better video than that video.
Depends on the 8-year-old, but yeah. Potentially, it was bizarre. It was video content.
I might
have an eye
anymore
for that. Well, I mean,
I
don't, you know, whatever.
I mean, I could pull up my first videos I ever made, and they're about at this level.
The Jupiter Lynx.
The only
getting
thing I wouldn't be able to
golf
figure out is how to do the wave. Taking out the text and bringing out the logo. I wouldn't have been able to figure that out. They probably paid $20,000 for somebody to figure that out. But
it's my team. My team. Homa, Kiss.
Here's the other thing. If you're running the TGL, that can't happen. That can't be the video. That can't be it.
Well, is everybody announced now? Do they have everybody out?
Your product's on going to be on ESPN if it happens, if it ever happens. The product's going to be on ESPN. That can't be the promo video. It can't be it.
It's fair.
This is something they believe could be a, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars organization. And then that's a rec league basketball shit.
I don't know about that. Maybe. It's like the kids at the school project, you know. Here's our pipe video for my sixth grade basketball team.
Yes,
come up with
what
this. The music, the creative music. Yeah, you just hit it out of GarageBand or whatever, the preloaded thing. Yeah. Anyways, that's your
Sorry.
Jupiter Lynx.
No, Sorry, but as I just had to get that off my chest.
As a Jupiter Lynx fan, one who appreciates the sun, the sand, the vibrant way of life, I know that I better be stocked up on my oars and Alps to live that kind of lifestyle of a Jupiter Lynx fan.
That's
and I would
right.
just
if you're
go
going
to
down to Jupiter. You need your sunscreen.
Yeah, well, nowadays you might need it everywhere outside of Jupiter. Oarsandalps.com/shotgunstart. And you use the promo code shotgun15. You can peruse at that URL, oarsandalps.com/shotgunstart. Peruse a variety of products. They've got sunscreen. They've got, you know, moisturizers. They've got face cleanser. I love the stick, the charcoal face stick. My kid had eye black on for his baseball game. It's just like that. You just go, you know, a couple swipes, wash your face, you're gone. That's quick and easy. But the sunscreen is a winner for me. This face stick on that one, too. You don't get any of the goop all over your hands. Doesn't make you look like Casper. You know, it rubs in nice and easy.
Where did I look like Casper at the U.S. Open last year?
There was something going on with whatever sunscreen they gave out at the U.S. Open or something. Yeah.
I didn't have my Orison Alps then.
No. And it was like a handout or something.
I was walking around LACC looking like an idiot.
Casper the Friendly Ghost. The Orison Alps stick rubs in nice and clear. You just throw it in your bag. You don't have goop on your hands. I love it. It passes the Mrs. Fried Egg test for chemicals. It's a great stuff that I already had well before they became a partner. I'm ecstatic. I think you had it too. Ecstatic they came on, like, kind of a natural win. We're very happy they support us. You can support them. Stock up now. OrisonAlps.com/shotgunstart. And shotgun15 is that promo code. What?
There's three brothers. I missed the Cooties. The Cooties are playing too. There's three
Pearson
sets of brothers.
Parker.
That's unbelievable.
Interesting. Pearson and Parker. Is
unbelievable.
Is Charles?
What's the promo code? Shotgun at Orison Alps.
15. Yeah.
Shotgun 15. 15% off. Get loaded up.
Pearson and Parker's grandfather Charles Cootie, right? Maybe
did he
a
play,
contemporary.
Did he play the New Orleans Open?
He probably did, and he probably played against Russ Cochran, who's now playing against Pearson and Parker.
It's possible. It's possible.
It's for
that Russ
sure.
Cochran
it's more than possible. It's a lock. Probably. That Russ Cochran played against Charles Cootie. Because Cutthroat Corner this week, we took a week off last week with Punta Cana. Entire field was Cutthroat Corner.
I thought you were going to go in another direction here. We have a great Cutthroat Corner coming.
Oh, he's out there. He's just out there. We're just circling around him. I see him. I'm a shark circling around. He's on his little kickboard. We'll get him another time. But Russ Cochran's in the field. I don't want to be mean again. You know, this is taking off of some of the comments of Wyndham Clark and Rory.
Can we talk about why he's in the field?
What?
We got to talk about why he's in there. He's in there. This is an important, momentous moment. Why he's in there. Everybody deserves this. This is like... This is like, you know, my dad's a veteran and he gets the Freedom Ride where the government pays for him to fly to D.C. This is like Russ Cochran's Freedom Ride.
That's not, you know, an inconsequential or bad idea. I'm just saying when we're talking about professional sports. And with billions of dollars on the line, and ostensibly guys fighting for this spot or that spot and shouting about how we need to be more cutthroat, the origin, not my idea, saying the tour needs to get more cutthroat. I'm just taking the players' quotes and creating Cutthroat Corner. Cochran Corner this week. Freedom Ride doesn't seem to jive with that whole competitive spirit, which we'll get to here in a minute.
Cochran's playing with Eric Cole's Cochran's son caddies for Eric Cole. So Eric Cole invited Russ Cochran, father of his caddy, who's made 599 starts on tour, to join him to make his 600th start. How old is Russ Cochran? I know you have this handy. I don't want to sound like an ageist here, but...
Oh, I mean, it's going to be hard not to after Cochran Corner's over. But he is 65 years old, Andy.
65!
He turned pro in 1979.
This isn't Tom Watson or Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer either. It's Russ Cochran.
One career win. And 599 starts. Soon to be 600.
What did he win?
I had it. Damn it. That was neither here nor there. Oh, he won. A legendary event, Andy. A legendary. In the name of Chick Evans.
Does it still
Victor Hovland?
Western Open.
Yes. Then
when it was the Western Open.
In the brief 3 years, 3 year span when it was known as the now defunct Centel, Fire Telecom Company, been dead for 30 years. Centel Western Open 1991. That was his
91.
Win.
91. I think 91. It probably was being played at Butler then.
Beat Greg Norman by 2 shots. That's his PGA Tour win. 599 starts. Russ Cochran. So, by all accounts,
I think that had to be at Butler National.
I could probably pull that up for you.
I got it. I got it here. Okay. 1991. No, Cog Hill. That was the first year moved from Butler National.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. A little history corner and Cochran corner.
Cochran rolls. We got plenty of history coming. This is a historic cutthroat Cochran corner. So he's 65, turned pro in 1979.
Can I throw a question at you real quick?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be the oldest player to play on the PGA Tour this year? Or will there be somebody older
playing? I think he's got to be. 65 is kind of up there.
He's 15 years removed from being Champions Tour eligible.
All right, so we are maybe the only podcast who has Russ Cochran facts sent to them. So which we got? We got several Russ Cochran intel in advance of Cochran Corner. Little tidbit on Russ Cochran. I caddied in the Invited Celebrity Classic for a friend last year. We got paired with Russ Cochran in the Pro-Am. Super nice guy. Again, Cochran Corner seems like a great dude. I hate that he's in the crosshairs, but it seems like a good idea. You know, good thing he's getting 600 starts. Again, but this is pro sports. It's not Little League. Super nice guy. Can't say enough about how fun he was in the group. But when I asked him about his schedule, he said, "Oh, I'm retired. I jump in a Champions event maybe twice a year or so just for fun." He may not have flown a drive over 230 all day. And even on the short Champions Tour course, he hit hybrid into most every par 4. My buddy, who was a 3 handicap, 100% beat him that day. I don't know about that. I maybe not vouch for that, but he's hitting hybrid. Claimed, self-admitted, "Oh, I'm retired. I tee it up once or twice a day, twice a year." On the Champions Tour. So Cochran Corner, he's on the PGA Tour event. I could be wrong. Don't think he's ever won a FedEx Cup point. Again, he was Champions Tour eligible in 09. So he's not, like, we talk about other cutthroat corner nominees. They got like 5 points here. This is zero since the invention of it in 07. He debuted on the Champions Tour in 09. Again, he's playing a PGA Tour event. His PGA Tour win was the Centel Western Open but he was sandwiched between Lane Levy and Ben Crenshaw, won the Western the year before and after. Now, I think here is where we get to the heart of the matter. I don't want to pile on. Clearly, he's got one win. He's older. You got to be a good golfer if you made 599 starts. But I think why he may have been tabbed for this, Andy, is he is an ace at these two-man events. Two-man events.
I love that you have a real theory of why he's in the field.
This is why he's in the field.
Not because of 600
starts. No. You lean on him, guy who's proven himself, because he won the 1984 shootout. This is 40 years ago now. 1984 shootout. QBE, whatever it became. 1984 shootout, where his partner was not Eric Cole. Eric Cole, I think, was probably 5 years old then. Can you guess who his partner was when he won the 84 shootout?
84. Let's go with Peter Jacobson.
Oh, God. No. His partner was Bob Charles. winner of the 1963 British Open. This is an individual who is now partnering with someone in a 2024 event.
Definitely competed against Charles
Cooley. Oh, he sure did. 52 years older than Eric Cole. Bob Charles was born in 1936. This is a guy, Russ Cochran partnered with him in an event, is now partnering with someone in 2024.
Bob Charles.
Bob Charles.
We like to track spreads in the old Firestone senior PGA or whatever it is.
Yeah, the senior players. Yeah.
The no-cut senior tour event. The spread from first to last. This has got to be the greatest spread in the history of partners.
I've had Bob Charles and Eric Cole. Incredible, incredible spread. He set timely. He set the Valhalla golf course record, 65, before it was broken by Jose Maria and then Blocky.
Hey, are you ready for Blocky season?
No. Oh, yeah, of course. We're always ready for Blocky season. Ready to sink our teeth into that.
The FedEx Cup started in 2006, right?
I thought it was seven, but maybe it was six. I think seven was the first year of it.
I think you're right. I don't think he's ever earned a FedEx Cup.
There's a lot of stats to go through. I don't think he has.
2008.
I think he's basically played only Champs Tour since 09. Occasional start.
Never mind.
Did he get one?
No. His made cut in 2008 was at the Argentina Masters, the Canadian Tour event.
So he's got a lot of, he was playing Nationwide Tour in his mid to late 40s to get ready for the Champions Tour. Again, this is not, you know, Jack Nicklaus. He finished third at the 03 Chitimacha. So in addition to the QBE shootout or whatever it was, his Western Open win.
He earned FedEx Cup points. He did earn them. T41 at the 2013 Sony Open.
Oh, all right. There we go. 23rd. That's an accomplishment.
11 years ago, he earned FedEx Cup points.
If he went 09, he's probably like 53, 54, earning a FedEx Cup point at Wailea. Good for him. So in addition to his Western Open, he's got 2 wins, 11 pro wins, only 1 tour win, 2 wins on the Tournament Player Series, which is just a thing. I was curious myself. It's hard to find. Doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, but it's nothing. He won the Magnolia Classic, which is now the Sanderson, and the Greater Baltimore Open. So here's just, this is Flashback Friday. We'll call it Way Back Wednesday, thanks to Russ Cochran. What is the Tournament Players Series? Let's go. Let's just go. We'll talk about this for a minute. I had to learn more. And it's very timely as we learn that the tour, they're splitting up equity tomorrow. And all these guys are you know, pampered Fs are moaning about this, that, and the other. This is a 2019 SI article on the Tournament Players Series, the stomping grounds of Russ Cochran, 2024 competitor. Today, you'd have to search down golf's food chain to the bottom of Korn Ferry Tour to even mini tours to find players in over their heads engaged in subsistence living while struggling to make ends meet. But in 1983, the difference between playing professional golf's haves and have-nots was widely pronounced. The comparisons are stark. Craig Stadler led the 82 tour money list with $446,000. Bobby Watkins was 60 with $69,000. And number 125, Larry Mize made $28,000 in 28 events at 125. Again, the leader was that. Yep. The reason number 60 on the 82 money list was relevant is only top 60 were fully exempt for the next year. Rest of players save
that's the way
for
the
a few other exemptions.
Now.
Yep. You're going to love this article. We're compelled to qualify every Monday for that week's tournament to fill out the field, usually 144. The qualifiers were called, quote, rabbits, not mules back then. They've evolved from rabbits because they chased the tour every week. They would wind up as roadkill often before the season was over, victims of too many expenses and too few birdies. No one on today's PGA Tour, except maybe Mark Russell, this is again 19, even remembers Monday qualifying at that level. It's a good bet none of the 20-something tour players has any idea that such a system ever existed. That's because today the top 125 each year are exempt. Now it's not quite that, but there's all sorts of different cuts. And the rabbits are extinct. Everyone on tour has Gary McCord to thank. Again, tournament player series. We're getting there. This is where Russ Cochran cut his teeth. Believe it or not, McCord, the popular and severely off-center CBS announcer, is responsible for creating the plan that became the all-exempt PGA Tour that was adopted and put into place by then-Commissioner Dean Beaman. The path to the final plan did not exactly follow a straight line, but his genesis was a 73. Cord got his PGA Tour card via Q School. He survived and set out to make his fortune in 74. So he goes to the LA Open. He was registered. He was told he's going to qualify on Monday at Los Serranos Country Club, 50 miles inland from the LA Open. I was asked why there was no qualifier in LA, and he said, I was told there was a qualifier there too. He says, two? I asked. Come to find there were two qualifiers, 180 players for two spots, one spot at each site of with 180 guys. I had an afternoon starting time at Los Serranos. I got there and one guy had already posted 63. I was nine holes in, on under. I got in the car and went home. Welcome to the tour. This is, he grinded for his Q School, and this is the start. 50 miles inland. As it turned out those days, Class A PGA of America pros could enter Monday qualifying at tour events. And club pros wintered in California, and they'd come in on the West Coast swing just feasting on these Monday qualifiers. These guys who club weren't pros. Were just, yeah. But these guys were cannon fodder who weren't out there, you know, coming from wherever they were, the Midwest. When the club pros went back east for the summer, the Rabbits' life was more manageable, but not by much. And they were talking about blockies of the world, taking them out. 120 players competing for 20 and 25 spots on Mondays. 1974 winner's checks ranged from $18,000 at the Tallahassee Open to $60,000 at a World Open Golf Championship. Most were in the $30,000 range. By 82, purses were in the $300,000 to $400,000 range, and most winners took home $54,000 to $72,000. The TPC players was $90,000. McCord was qualifying for the Doral Eastern Open, and players such as Miller Barber and Don January, legends, were in the Monday qualifier, trying to just get in. He goes, I looked at it, did my homework, and there were 56 tour wins among the guys who were trying to qualify that week. So again, maybe the cutthroat, the original cutthroat corner, 56 tour wins, just trying to Monday qualify.
Maybe this is what opposite events are now.
Yeah, maybe. McCord thought the system was insane, but behind the times, given, you know, free agency and other sports, this is a major sport. It was a bunch of Bedouins going from oasis to oasis, Monday to Monday. All you're doing is blowing money, chasing dreams. So he gathered Golf World magazines. 68% of all PGA Tour members were Monday qualifiers in 82. 68%. This wow. is cutthroat.
This is the way to be.
Missed the Doral qualifier, did a bunch of research with his magazines, said more players should be exempt, and his number was arbitrary, 135, exemption pecking order. So he went to Pensacola, the tour, where they were conducting the Open, and said about out of 144-man field, 100 guys showed up. He outlined into plan of to kind of expand the exemptions. So what eventually, you know, Dean Beaman gets wind of this, what he was up to, called him to headquarters. I thought I was going to get killed. Beaman instead told McCord, you're just the guy I need to get this done. We've been talking about an expansion of the tour forever, but this groundswell is the catalyst we need. Again, he had like 100 out of 144 guys at Pensacola Open were all interested in this. So he starts creating this tournament player series. He took it to Lanny Watkins. If I'm the American League, I live in Dallas, and Dallas tournament is National League. Does that mean I can't play Dallas? He said, yes, basically that's it. This was the original plan where certain events were for certain parts of the tour. Crazy. Lanny said, I'm not doing
events.
That.
These are the opposite field events.
Well, Lanny Watkins says, no way, we're not doing that. But he fixed the number at exempt number at 125 that kept putting rabbits out of work. There would still be Monday qualifying, but the spot shrank to four per tournament.
The way it worked, too, if you were a rabbit and you qualified and then you made the cut that week, you'd be in the next week.
Yep.
It's a great system.
Right. So they get to 125, but still four Monday Q spots. The only reason the qualifying existed was because of antitrust laws. The fact that the tour had its tax exempt status. So they had to keep the qualifying. Under those laws, the tour must allow open access.
Unbelievable.
As a result, then the tour
can't
started.
Get rid of combined qualifiers. No. Tax data.
Open access, allegedly. As a result,
the first budding of the that has to be the first problem they encountered with tax.
Among that, yes. Yeah. So this, as McCord is stirring all this up, this expansion of exempt status, they started creating the Tournament Player Series, where Russ Cochran won twice. 1983, in partnership with the PGA of America, to provide a place for players below 125 on the previous tour's money list. The PGA of America was guaranteed 25 spots, and tour players ages 45 to 49 also had eligibility as prep for the senior tour. So it was think about that. The Korn Ferry Tour is a senior tour prep playing grounds in PGA of America club pros, and then the guys beyond 125. 10 events per year.
Do you know who won the most on the Tournament Player Series?
No. It's a good. Who was the 4A guy, the GOAT then?
Who was the GOAT then? Yeah, I'd love to know.
It's a good question. 10 events per year. It became the Hogan Tour and then eventually the Korn Ferry Tour way, way, way down the line. So that was interesting. That was my flashback Friday research. As a result, there's more access for everyone. So interesting stuff to listen to some of the money made and just where this needing more events for more exemptions. And here we are at Cutthroat Corner with Russ Cochran, who's seen it all. He's done it. He did the Tournament Player Series and now he's up to speed on the everybody in the boat to chance to make $20 million purses and things.
Would you rather be a mule or a rabbit?
A rabbit, I think. Right?
I feel like mules, you don't have to worry about like predators as much. If you're a rabbit, you got to worry like everywhere you go, right?
The foxes and all that stuff.
Hawks, you know.
Yep.
Dogs.
That is your lengthy Cochran / Cutthroat Corner. Look, I didn't want to pile on the guy. I thought I'd do a little history segment. It seemed worthwhile, given he's played with Bob Charles, 1936, and now Eric Cole. Cochran Corner. God, you know what they probably didn't have on the Tournament Player Series with Russ Cochran?
I'll tell you what. Do you think Russ Cochran knows how to use a rangefinder?
I think it's debatable. He does. He's playing Champions Tour events less, I don't know, 15 years. He's probably figured that out. But if he wants the latest and greatest, he can go to bushnellgolf.com, get the X3 Plus. Did I have that right? Is that the right arrangement of numbers and letters? X3 Plus, which you can connect to the Bushnell app on your phone, judges the wind, the direction. It has the slope adjuster. It's got the lock switch, so it locks onto the flag or whatever it is you're shooting. It's the top 98.6% of PGA Tour professionals use a Bushnell. It's top of the line. It's most trusted on the tour. And this new wind gauge on the X3 Plus is kind of gets you dialed in. They didn't have that, the Tournament Player Series. I'll tell you that, 1973 or 83 either. So bushnellgolf.com. Check out the X3 Plus or any other rangefinder there.
Yeah, so. They got other good rangefinders too.
A lot of options there. Should we do our schedule for the week? We already know we've got the... Do you want a one and done? Do you want to throw a one and done out there for Zurich Classic?
I'm taking Lowry because it allows me to get McIlroy twice in one and done.
You piggyback off of the... Yeah. That's a smart idea. It's a good idea. Maybe that's a reason to take Ted Potter Jr. Just ride the guy who's hot.
Get the toast man twice.
Yeah. I'm going to take TPJ. Ride that. So they have got to have good camaraderie come Thursday. Get a couple days, 3 days, and Toasty plays well with others. I'm sure that'll go well. The Zurich Classic is on 3:30 to 6:30 and finishes on CBS at 6 p.m. On the women's LPGA, they have the JM Eagle LA Championship. This is 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., 6, 9 p.m. on the weekend. Primetime golf, that is at Wilshire Country Club. Excuse me. No Nelly Korda. She WD'd here on Monday night or Tuesday after 5 straight wins. Reasonable. I think that's a reasonable WD given all she's gone through. I think I would try to keep the streak alive and come in at 100%. And yeah. She wasn't going to be. So.
This is still event of the week just because it's an awesome golf course, awesome setting, and all but Nelly Korda, really, of the best players in the world are going to be there. So hopefully... swifter than 6 hour rounds. I couldn't imagine playing Wilshire in 6 hours. It's a small little small ballpark type property.
Didn't Brooke Henderson wreak havoc on this one last time? Wasn't like Jin-Yun Ko walking on XT or I feel like that might have happened. Or Lydia Ko. I can't remember. Somebody was just
time for
the
LPGA to get the stopwatches out.
So that's primetime golf from Wilshire, a great classic course in a major metro area. Elsewhere on the schedule for the week, we have the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. Mitsubishi, just the sugar daddies of the Champions Tour. That's 12 to 3 p.m. and then 2:45 to 6.
Where's that
on the
at?
Weekend. Good question. Sugarloaf, TPC Sugarloaf. See, we're about to hit the TPC swing. All right, we got TPC Louisiana, TPC Craig T. Nelson Ranch next week. We got TPC Sugarloaf on the senior circuit. So this is kind of the high times for the TPC network of courses. That's your Champions Tour event. And then on the DP World Tour, we have the ISPS Handa Championship at Taiyo Golf Club in Japan. That'll be on 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. On Golf Channel. So
Eastern.
Overnight.
Prime
cocktail
time
golf.
Yeah. Primetime golf and on the West Coast.
Let's see if we have any notables for that one.
DP World Tour isn't afraid to go up against the NBA playoffs.
No.
How about your Cavs?
Yeah, they're all right. The Magic can't score. Magic's like watching my third grade boys trying to just get to 8 points a quarter or something.
That's why they need to trade for Zach LaVine. You know, they need a guy that can put the ball in the basket.
Cavs are okay. We'll see. It's just a matter of time. They tank
the face. What seed are they? Are they the three?
Four. They're four.
Oh, that's
they tank their. Well, they intentionally lost their last game of the season against the Hornets to get the Magic. It's almost like we just want to
but
win
then you
one
get
series.
Boston.
I know.
You get
it's,
Boston
it's a loser
next.
Mentality.
A disaster.
I agree. It's a loser mentality.
Run
it's like
into the juggernaut.
I think they were scared of losing to, like, you know, the Pacers or Sixers or like that whole jumbled mess that ended up happening. But you'll get maybe a Magic series and then get popped. It's a loser mentality. Go for the highest seat.
You know what's the loser mentality? The Chicago Bulls. I can't say anything about your team being loser mentality.
No,
my team went to the play-in last year, lost in the play-in, and our general manager stressed continuity for the next year. And guess what happened? The exact same thing. We lost to the exact same game, same team in the play-in.
The Heat?
Yeah.
You lost the Heat? I honestly didn't even know the Bulls were in the playoffs until like last week.
But we weren't in the
Thursday
playoffs. We were in
yeah,
the,
I couldn't
we were
believe
the play-in.
It.
Like, all right. Like, there's not the playoffs.
We might need a cutthroat corner. I was like, the Bulls? Or I didn't, you know, anyways. But
hey,
yeah,
next time we chat, you know, the Bears will be on their way to a new QB. It's Bears time.
Exciting week. Very exciting week. You gotta hit on Caleb, I guess. So
what
very
do you
exciting.
Think? What do you think? Do you like that for the Bears?
Sure.
What's your outsider's perspective?
I think so. I think that's what you got to do. I think you can't mess around. If it goes bad, it goes bad. You didn't do it. You know, you kind of went with the consensus choice and you tried. And if it works, it'll be awesome. So,
would you rather have Caleb or Deshaun?
Stop. Stop. Stop it. See, there you go. You should be optimistic about it. That is a great either or. It could be paying him $50 million a year and having to deal with all the sort of cognitive dissonance of having a sex pest as your quarterback. And a dead arm. Or you could take a fine young Jesuit educated Gonzaga quarterback at a rookie contract like Caleb Williams. That seems preferable. Even if he is a bust, it seems preferable. So Caleb Williams, good luck to you on Thursday with that pick. What's the next pick you got?
Nine. Number
one
nine.
And nine. Okay.
I hope the tackle falls, but it doesn't sound like he's going to, that Joe Alt guy.
Oh, the Notre Dame kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever had like a great left tackle in my lifetime for the Bears. We've never had a great quarterback and we've never had a great left tackle. Maybe they're correlated. I don't know.
Yeah, well, as a fan of a team who had one of the great left tackles of all time and won an average of 3 games a year, I'd say just get the quarterback right first, because Joe Thomas just toiling away. doesn't matter as much as he's great as he was. All right, where are we at? Schedule for the week. I think we're done. The DP World Tour. I don't know. Do you have anything more you want to talk about? I had a bunch of news. We have Liv Adelaide.
What about Rory? Going back to the board.
Webb's doing the Rudy scene. He's putting his jersey down on the desk saying, I want Rory to take my spot. Allegedly, this is a great report by Ewan Murray, who was someone on our Ireland trip, characterized him. He's one of the last few proper journalists. Ewan in The Guardian reports that Rory will be back, not on PGA Tour Enterprises board, though he may do that as well, but also the PGA Tour Policy Board in Webb Simpson's spot. And coming soon, maybe? No, he resigned in November.
I find it interesting that people could just appoint people. I want off and I want this person on in my place. Is that the power that the policy board members have?
It is curious. That's weird.
Who knew that Rory would miss those hours of Zoom sessions a week? But
he had to get back in. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Can't watch from the sidelines. Wants to be in.
It's got to be frustrating to watch from the sidelines.
Strong
opinions and then lose all platform for your opinions.
As we record this, Cantlay is doing a media session. I wonder what he has to say about any of this. So he's allegedly rumored as one of the people who kind of took the conch shell of the board, you know, in the intervening months since Rory has left. And of course, Tiger's there and who knows what Tiger's doing. But yeah, you got other big names on there. Anything else? Rory's coming back.
Hey, game within the game. What do you think? You got the Canadians or Rory and Shane?
I got the tugboat and Zatch on both of them.
What happened to his strategy?
The tugboat?
Yeah.
I know. He's taking like persona non grata right now. The Zatch is just getting crushed from everywhere. Instead, he's riding no more John Rahm or Scotty to jump in on. But yeah, he's got Zatch. Game within the game, I'm going to take the Canadians. Bulletin board material for the Irish Golfing Union there. Who do you like?
I gotta take the other side. That's game with the game. I don't get a pick. You made your pick. I'm there.
All right.
You're saddled with the gnome flag, and I got the real thing.
That's true. All right, that does it for this Wednesday episode. We've got more. I've got a lot of Liv Adelaide notes. We got to talk about Westy being a bagel boy. The disgrace.
Bagel Boy segment and walk-up music on Friday.
Friday. Yeah, we'll get some equity distribution
and Victory
stuff.
Friday. Yes. And Victory Friday for the Bears.
That's right. We will talk to you then.